Hey guys, we're back for, what is it, episode 8?
It is.
Yay, I got that right. We're back for episode 8. We hope you enjoyed our return last week.
We enjoyed it.
We had a time with it.
We had a gaff.
We did. It was just a really bad story, but it was good to be back.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be back again. So, welcome to episode 8.
We're ready to hoop.
And we're ready to holler.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise Hail, praise Dale.
No new updates. We have been speaking about making perfume. But we don't know how realistic that is. So, it's just a fun little idea right now.
It's just something we're tossing around.
Yeah. It's just like for funsies. But, yeah, I don't think any new updates. Nothing crazy, nothing good. We did get a message on Greenwich Cottage.
Oh, did we?
Instagram of somebody saying that they really enjoy the show. They said that they deliver mail, and it's really nice to... They said they love how real we are and how fun it is. So, appreciate that a bunch. Thank you.
Thanks.
They said, quote, loving this podcast. I love the realness. And the episode you did at Olive Garden was fun. We agree.
Yes.
We love the episodes. I think the episode at Chili's was my favorite one, honestly.
That one was a lot of fun to do. It's funny. I just told Landon about the Olive Garden and Chili's episodes, and he thought that was a funny idea.
It was really cool. Can't wait to do it again. We were supposed to do one for Valentine's Day, so now we'll just have to do one to make it up to you guys.
Yeah.
So.
A 420?
Ooh, perfect. Ooh. Perfect. We'll sesh and then go somewhere like Chili's again.
Red Lobster?
Red Lobster. Red Lobster is like almost always so empty and dead.
It'd be perfect.
Yeah.
As many Cheddar Bay biscuits as you want, baby.
Oh, so good.
I have news. I got flirted with by a cute girl who sells bagels.
Little bakery babe. I went out last night without my boot.
Yay!
So we're on the up and up with that.
Somebody recognized my tattoos from Raina's Instagram page, IRL. Super cool.
Love that. So, I guess we'll just jump right in then.
Raina has a little urban legend for us.
I do indeed.
Poops is obsessed with my weed bag. Look at her, the fucking fiend.
Yeah, she loves substances. She's really into those.
She loves substances, microplastics, red dye 40.
Mulch. She loves her some mulch.
Raina.
So today I'm going to be doing the urban legend / conspiracy theory of the Black Eyed Children.
Ooh, okay, I've vaguely heard about this one before, and it really freaks me out.
Yeah, it freaks me out a lot too.
I'm excited.
Kids kind of freak me out sometimes. I don't like dislike kids necessarily. I'm never going to have any. But, I don't know. Sometimes they just have this vibe to them that I don't fully understand, and I think that scares me.
big mood.
But, yeah, I remember back in, like, 2018, 2017, BuzzFeed did a video on the Black Eyed Children. Mm. And ever since then, I've thought it's something that I think about every once in a while, and I'm like, oh, God.
Don't like that.
Yeah, no, I hate this story. But it was really fun and interesting to read about again, since I haven't like thought about it since, I mean, not like I haven't like looked into it, I guess, for a long time.
Well,
so
we appreciate your sacrifice.
Thanks.
In order to give us this.
I'm so brave.
You're so brave right now.
So the Black Eyed Children are considered paranormal creatures. Since the Black Eyed Children began appearing in 1996, witnesses have given varying descriptions of what they look like. They say that they resemble children who are usually between the ages of 6 and 16, which is a pretty wide range to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like at this point, I don't know what a 6-year-old and a 16-year-old look like. Like anytime I see a kid, I throw out a number and I'm way off. So I have no idea what kids are supposed to look like at certain ages. Like I had to be told yesterday at what age kids start to be able to talk because I didn't know that.
I had a kid in my chair the other day, and I was like, "How old are you?" And he was like, 14. And I was like, "Oh, are you a freshman or a sophomore?" And he was like, "I'm in 8th grade." And like immediately, like a jackass, I went, "Still?" And now that upon reflection, that is a normal age
Yeah,
for
I
one to
was.
be in 8th grade. But
Yeah. I was 14 in 8th grade.
I felt like a jackass. I didn't mean it like that.
So if you're listening, little kids, sorry. Anyway, they resemble kids within the ages between of 6 and 16. They have pale skin and black eyes. And I've always been drawn to the story because I've always been obsessed with sclera contacts, like the ones that cover your entire eye.
Those are freaky.
Yeah, and the black ones specifically, like it's always been one of my dreams in my entire life to get one of those. So if you own a contact company and you want to send me some, that would be really cool.
You'd be so hot with all black eyes.
No. I would be giving like such sexy succubus.
Oh, yeah.
One day I'll get them. They're like $70, so they're like kind of expensive, but
Dark fairy that will eat your soul.
yes. Oh my God, we should have a dark fairy party. Summer solstice dark fairy party.
I'll ask my mom if you ask your mom.
Okay, my boyfriend will drop me off if yours picks us up.
I
Or my partner will drop us off if your boyfriend picks us up. So they're usually reportedly like seen hitchhiking or panhandling or encountered on doorsteps of residential homes, but they're not typically seen anywhere else. So stories of encounters with the black-eyed children date all the way back to the 1950s.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they generally wear modern clothes like of the time, so when they were seen in the 50s, they looked like clothing of the 50s. Like if somebody saw them now, they would be wearing clothes similar to the clothes of now. I feel like they would maybe be a little off, like they're totally wearing something last season, but
But generally, they are dressed to
yeah,
fit in.
generally they're hip with it. So a few witnesses have reported them wearing old fashion or like Mennonite clothing. So sometimes they're seen wearing old clothing, sometimes they're seen wearing clothing of the century. And of course, like I said, they have black eyes. So the children usually travel in pairs, which doubles their ability to intimidate their victims. Or allegedly, since it's, we don't know if this is all real. We don't know if anything's real.
Dun dun dun.
A few witnesses have claimed that their eyes look like ragged holes,
Ew.
which terrifies the fuck out of me. I hate the thought of that, and it's actually.
I'm gonna see that
Ooh.
tonight when I close my eyes, so thank you to whoever said that. Could have kept
Others.
that one to themselves.
That didn't need to be something you shared with the class. Others have described their eyes as shiny black bulbs, so like the sclera contacts. But also like a little bit bigger, I think. So almost like the Moon Eye children, but probably not as big. So they
Okay.
didn't look like aliens, but they definitely didn't look.
They're a little bug-eyed.
Yeah. So the children apparently radiate negative emotions like panic and dread.
Ew.
And flickering lights and power outages are common when the children pop up in areas. One witness claimed that she let the children inside and has since suffered from nosebleeds and been diagnosed with advanced skin cancer,
Oh my God.
consistent with exposure to massive radiation.
What? That's fucking terrifying.
And all she did was let those kids inside her house. So there's not a mass amount of reports or encounters of black-eyed children, unfortunately. There's also no definitive proof of their existence other than witness testimonies.
And that
But
lady's skin cancer.
yeah, in that weird case of skin cancer nosebleeds that somebody got. So I compiled a couple of stories that people who claim to have had encounters with them.
Yes, tell me some stories.
So a man claims to have been on the side of the road in the middle of the night. Why? We don't know. He decided not to share that information. He said
just
that
man things.
Just guys being dudes. So he said that two children approached him.
Yeah, poached him.
They approached him. Oh, man. So he said that two children approached him, one a girl and one a boy, and says that the boy allegedly told him that they were lost out in the desert and they needed help. Which, why would you question a child, you know?
Right.
So he asked the witness to open the car door and give them a ride to the nearest town. But at this point, the witness claims that he was overwhelmed with a sheer wall of fear and the potent urge to, like, get away from them as fast as he could. Or as fast as they could. We don't know. They said it was a man, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a man. So as fast as he could. But he also found that he seemed to be unable to move as if he were paralyzed, which could be something from panic. You know, you could, like, freeze. So he said, quote, "It was a really strange sensation. Every fiber of my being was screaming to get the hell out of there. But I was, I don't know how to describe it, sort of transfixed, hypnotized, whatever. Anyway, there wasn't a chance I was going to open that door, but I couldn't move to get my car started either. I was like a prisoner in my own skull looking out. And that window was still rolled down. Nothing separated me from that freaky kid's face leering just outside." End quote.
So, like, if he was in the desert, like, that's even creepier. Like, yeah. Where did they come from?
Yeah, it's not, like, because I guess, like, in my head when I pictured it at first, it was, like, at a gas station.
Mm.
But he was just parked on the side of the road. So it wouldn't have been a gas station.
And they just, like, appeared?
Yeah.
Like, if it's a desert, it's flat. Like, he would have seen them walking up from, like, ever.
Yeah. Unless he was, like, asleep, maybe?
I don't know.
Strange.
Very strange. Very creepy. Don't like it.
Yeah. Very icky. So one of the earliest recorded sightings of black-eyed children was in 1950. A 16-year-old named Harold. Yeah. Harold was strolling up the street to his Virginia home when he noticed a boy leaning on a nearby fence. This one's kind of creepy. As if the other one wasn't creepy. This one's just creepier. As creepy, but yeah. So Harold was a bit startled and he paused and said hello, but received no response. So he turned to leave, and then the mysterious boy that was standing there finally spoke. And he said, quote, "I want to go to your house. You're going to walk me up to your house." And that was when Harold noticed his eyes and all his instincts screamed for him to run, but all he could do was stand there. Then, as if reading Harold's mind, the boy said, "Now, don't you run away from me. You're going to walk me up to your house."
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, and that was enough to, like, spring him into action. So he booked it out of there, ran home. He claimed he heard the devil child, as he said, let out the scream of a bobcat, but he wasn't willing to turn around to be sure.
Oh my god.
So the account goes on to reveal Harold's parents actually believed him, and his father went out with his gun in hand looking for what they believed was a devil.
Oh my god. They were not fucking around.
Don't you fuck with my boy.
Devil? Say less. I got my gun.
So the black-eyed child was apparently gone, but Harold's mother still took him to the local priest to be sure her son was to, like, remain safe.
I like parents that take immediate action.
Yeah. They're like, don't you worry, baby. We're going to go ahead and take care of this for you.
They said gaslight, never heard of her.
Journalist Brian Bethel of Abilene, Texas, is credited with being the first person to post an online account of the black-eyed children phenomenon.
Hmm.
He posted it in 1996, and he said that he was sitting in his car writing out a check he intended to drop off at a nearby internet provider's office, so like an AT&T or something. He was, like, while he was in his car, he was startled by the sound of knocking on his window and looked up to see two kids in hoodies. He couldn't figure out why, but in, like, a jolt of, like, he couldn't figure out why, but he said a jolt of fear just, like, ran through his body. So he cracked his window just enough to talk with them, and the oldest of the two boys asked for a ride to their mother's house, and he claimed they were going to see a movie, forgot their money, and needed a ride so they could make it back for the movie in time. The movie theater was close enough that Bethel could read the marquee, and he asked the boys what they were going to see. And the oldest boy said Mortal Kombat. And Brian knew that the movie had already started an hour ago because he could see it on the marquee.
Ooh, caught in a lie.
Yeah. So Brian also claims that the way they spoke wasn't natural and almost sounded robotic. And he said, quote, he said that the kids said, quote, just let us in and we'll be gone before you know it. We'll go to our mother's house. Everything the other... Oh.
Mortal Kombat.
What are you going to see? Star Wars.
Here, take some money and go see a Star War.
Star War. Go watch the Star War. So everything the older boy said sent shivers down his spine. But then he saw the eyes, like lacking any real substance or soul. And he didn't even try to hide his terror. And the boy said, come on, mister, we won't hurt you. You have to let us in. We don't have a gun. That was the least of my concerns, but now I'm scared of that.
Okay, thank you. That makes me feel so much better.
The more he spoke, the more Bethel was sure he had to get out of there. And he threw his car in reverse, the boy still yelling to be let in, and sped off.
Mm-mm-mm.
So he gave one quick glance behind him, but saw nothing. Another story comes from someone who posted their story anonymously in 2010. They said that they were an engineer working the night shift for a data center in Ohio. This one freaked me out.
Ah!
So it was around 5 a.m. on July 31st, 2010. He was taking a smoke break outside when he noticed two teenage boys standing motionlessly and staring at him from across the street. Immediately feeling unnerved, he put out a cigarette and went back inside because he was like, fuck this.
See some children?
Yeah, no. And at 5 a.m., just standing there, not moving. No, I'm out of here. So no more than 10 minutes later, the intercom buzzed and he checked the monitors and the two boys had made their way over to his building and were now staring into their surveillance camera.
Gross.
Like they could see him through it.
Oh, hell no.
So through the speaker, he asked what they wanted, and they said nothing, but motioned for him to come outside. He hit
come
the
here,
speaker
I gotta
button.
I tell you something.
I can't see it over the camera. Come inside. He hit the speaker button again and told them to go away. They didn't leave, though, and they continued to stare into the camera as if they were watching as he worked.
Ew.
So he ended up getting fed up after about 10 minutes and he went to the door to chase them off. And right before opening the door, he saw them through the one-way glass and was horrified to see that their eyes were completely black.
Yeah.
So he knew he had to open up the door and tell them to get out. And he decided he'd call the police if he had to. And as if the boy read his mind, the moment the door opened, he said, that will not be necessary, sir. We simply need to use your phone. Can you let us in?
I am uncomfortable.
Like, yeah.
My heart feels like it has a hand around it. I don't like that.
So he pulled out his cell phone and threatened to call the police if they didn't leave. And he made sure the door was locked and he went back to the monitor. Only one of the boys was still there staring at the camera. And then he realized the second boy positioned himself on back or out back and was staring into the into camera three. So he called the police.
Good.
He was like, fuck that.
Good for him.
Both boys moved into a blind spot with no camera coverage, and he waited for them to reappear, but they simply vanished. He never could see them in any of the cameras after that. The police arrived around 6 a.m. and both boys were gone. And another story involves a young woman who is 18 years old, and her name is Karis Holdsworth. And she said that she was heading home to her apartment after a night out. And it was just before 11 p.m. when she noticed there were two teenage boys she'd never seen before just standing in her yard. So this obviously put her on edge a little because she's, you know, a female coming home
Yeah.
At 11 p.m. with two random boys standing in her yard.
And, like, if they're teenagers, they're, like, not that much younger than her.
Yeah. So she reached in her purse to make sure her pepper spray was readily available. Good for her.
Tase a child. I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. So with a firm grip on her only weapon, she attempted to sneak past them unnoticed, and they both turned simultaneously, and she instantly felt a primal terror and gripped the canister still in her purse. And as if they knew what was hiding in her bag and what she was thinking, the older one said, "No need for that. We just want to borrow your phone, miss." He said, "Please, miss, my mother won't be happy if she doesn't know where we are." Every instinct in her knew that she had to get away from them, but part of her felt a twinge of guilt and considered helping them.
Uh-oh.
But that feeling was quickly buried in the deep sense of dread that was, like, just washing over her after, like, encountering them. And she said she made it inside, slammed the door shut, and locked it. And with a sigh of relief, she headed for her kitchen. But then there was a knock. And she decided to ignore it.
Good.
She's like, fuck that.
Good.
They knocked again. And that feeling of dread began to make its way through her body again. And she decided that she'd be brave. And peek through the peephole. And one of them said, "Just let us in to use the phone. We won't hurt you. We have no weapons to hurt you with."
Again with the weapons.
Yeah. So Kerrison ordered them to leave her alone. And she made sure everything was locked tight and called a friend to come over. And the boys didn't leave until the friend showed up. She didn't see the black-eyed children that were, her friend didn't see the black-eyed children that were harassing her friend. But she did feel an overwhelming sense of danger when she first arrived.
Interesting.
So Kerrison soon moved away after that and now always checks her peephole before opening the door. And while there is no absolute proof of black-eyed children existing, it is still a very creepy thought. And the amount of stories that are out there is kind of crazy.
And, like, how similar every single story is.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think they want? What do you think they're trying to get inside your home and car for?
I think they kill you. Because that one lady got fucking radiation poisoning.
Yeah.
And cancer.
Yeah.
Like, so I think they want to kill you.
Hmm.
I don't know where they come from or why. Nobody really knows because nobody started really sharing information about it until the 90s. Like, there was accounts of people seeing it back in the 50s, but nobody really documented accounts of it until the 90s. So we don't really have the folklore of, like, where they might have come from or
how they could have appeared. Do you remember Spy Kids?
Yeah.
The first one?
Yeah.
With all those children with, like, the little robot children?
Yeah.
They kind of remind me of that.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like they're, like, spies, like, gaining information.
And yeah, like, some people.
What do you need?
Some people think that maybe they're connected to, like, the real life Men in Black. But also, a lot of the people who have had encounters with them have, like, no. There would be no reason why the Men in Black would have interest in them, essentially. Right. Like, none of them are, like, acclaimed ufologists or anything like that. Like, none of them are uncovering conspiracies. They're just random normal people that are getting essentially harassed by these creatures.
So they can, like, read their minds. I don't know. To me, it's like they like, want to study you. And, like, you just get sick from, like, being near them because they're so, like...
Because they're from something else.
Right.
Yeah,
ew,
that would make sense,
I don't like
too.
That. I've got a whole body goosebumps.
Well, perfect then. Let's do some gardening for a moment.
Thank God. Drink some Baja Blast.
Yeah, of course. Baja be thy blast.
Let's get fucking Baja blasted.
Yeah, we'll be right back, guys. We're gonna go enjoy some gardening time.
Some Italian herbs and spices.
Yeah. Some five cheese and Italian herb.
The best Subway bread.
I'm trying to think of other little things that we could do during our break.
Yeah.
So if you guys have any ideas, let us know. Because, you know, we're always open to that. And you guys have been getting better about communicating with us.
Well, thank
we
you.
Had that one message
thank
and
you.
That one review. And
thank you.
It feels like we're being paid attention to, and that's all I want. So
I get people who, like, talk about it with me in person.
I've had, like, a couple of people here and there, but not very many. And a lot of them are, like, just, like, homies that have listened to, like, an episode or two. They're not people who, like, listen to it regularly.
Yeah.
Although my one friend, Sarah, had sent me that message one day, and she was like, when's the next one? Because I just got caught up, and now I'm out of episodes.
Aww, that's sweet.
I'm going to make a shrimp cocktail. That's an old family recipe, and I'm not going to give it away because it's a secret recipe. And normally when my mom would make this dish, she would not tell people how it was made until after she gave it to them.
I actually, like, can never see shrimp cocktail without thinking about the scene in Beetlejuice. The dinner party scene.
Nail.
With a nail. They like to come and they want to go home. Yeah. Oh, see, it flows naturally.
It's just, it's what's in our hearts.
It is what's in our hearts.
We just have that music in us.
I got, the music in me. I told you I'd be a hootin' holler.
We're hootin' and hollering, y'all. What are you doing? I can't be the only one hooting and hollering in the club. I remember when that meme first came out, I thought it was so fucking funny. Why am I the only one shaking ass in this club? I thought that shit was hilarious.
You should be shaking ass all day long.
You should shake ass as much as you can for as long as you can.
Live fast.
Die young.
Shake ass.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks.
Live fast, shake ass.
Have we talked about Lisa Frankenstein yet?
No, we didn't, actually. We went and saw Lisa Frankenstein, guys.
And we loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was super cute.
It was so funny.
It was very camp.
Yes, it was very, like, our vibes. So if you like the show, you'll probably like it.
Yeah, it was super cute. I read some bad reviews on it, but, like,
they
a lot of it were
get
just...
it.
Honestly, a lot of it were men.
See, it's not for them. They just don't get it. Ugh. Go back to watching Dune and your space butthole worms, stupid.
I love that the male lead doesn't speak the entire movie.
Love that.
That's so amazing. That's so perfect. It's so good. You can tell that they were, like, trying not to break, like, half the movie, which I also love, because it's, like, you can tell that they were just having a good time.
Oh, I mean, it looked like a blast to film.
Yeah.
This week, I did a foreign story.
Ooh, foreign and, from where?
Well, do you want to try taking a guess?
Japan?
No.
Is it somewhere like Japan?
No.
Okay.
In that it's an island, and that it's, like, in LA. But no.
Europe?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a Spanish story. Ooh. And it is the story of Piedad Martinez del Aguila.
Aguila.
Piedad was born in 1953 in Murcia, Spain, to Andres Martinez and Antonia Perez Diaz. Also, a little fun fact, Piedad means piety. She was the third of 10 siblings.
Whoa.
And she was the oldest girl.
Okay.
So her family was, like, very impoverished. This is during the time of, like, right after Franco has kind of, like, ravaged Spain, especially in Murcia. So they're, like, working class. Both of her parents worked. Her dad was a bricklayer. Her mom was, like, a gig kitchen helper. And her brothers that were 14 and 16, so the only two that were older than her, had already dropped out of school to work and help support their family. They worked in, like, a mechanic shop. So Piedad was basically, like, the primary caregiver for all of the younger siblings. At the time when Piedad was 12 years old, her mother, Antonia, was pregnant with the 11th child. And Piedad was currently, like, doing all the household chores, the cooking, the cleaning, and she was caring for Jesus, who was 10, Cristina, who was 8, Manuela, who was 6,
jeez,
Andres, who was 5, Buena Santa, who was 4, Mariano, who was 2, and Maria Carmen, who was only 9 months old.
The life of an older Hispanic daughter.
Literally. And on top of all that, her brothers would bring home, like, chrome for the bike shop, and she would use, like, a kind of wax bar to polish them.
For
and
what?
She would get, like, paid for that.
Oh, okay.
Basically, like, they were bringing work home for her that she could do at home so she could also bring money into the house.
Yeah.
On December 4th, 1965, Maria Carmen, the 9-month-old, suddenly developed a rash, had a high fever, and she started violently seizing. She was pronounced dead by the time a doctor arrived shortly after. It was pretty much what the doctor put on the death certificate and what it was assumed to be was meningitis. But also, like, really kind of weird that it came on so quickly, like within a half hour from the time of symptoms starting to her death. On the 9th, so 5 days later, Mariano, the 2-year-old, started showing the same symptoms, and before the same doctor could be called in, he was also deceased before he got there. Meningitis was also listed as his cause of death. So people were starting to be like, oh my gosh, like, there's sickness, like, nobody wanted to go near the Martinez family.
Yeah.
On the 14th, another 5 days later, Buena Santa, the 4-year-old, also passed. And that same doctor was like, okay, we need to, like, really look into this.
Mm-hmm.
So, he had everybody else in the family sent to the hospital to see if they were infected.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody tested positive for any illness.
Hmm.
Because it was assumed that this was, like, some kind of, like, mystery super virus.
Yeah.
So, everyone else in the family was sent back home, and the bodies of Maria del Carmen and Mariano were exhumed. But they also didn't have any evidence of, like, a virus or infection or bacteria.
Hmm.
So, on January 4th, in 1966, so it starts in, like, 1965, in December. So, by January 4th, a month after the first death, Andres, the 6-year-old, or 5-year-old, died as well. And so they sent his tissue and a sample of Buena Santa's tissue out to, like, all these different pathologists. And it came back that there were high levels of potassium cyanide in his and Buena Santa's bodies.
Huh?
So they then Yeah. So this is kind of fucked up. So if you want to, like, jump ahead, like, 30 seconds, feel free. They checked the youngest two's bodies, but by that time, so much time had passed that there were no traces of any poison found in their body.
Mm-hmm.
So they fed their organs to a bunch of guinea pigs and a dog, and they all died immediately.
What?
So that's how they confirmed that the youngest two had also been poisoned.
Oh my god.
Hmm? On January 14th, both of the parents are arrested. They send Andres to a mental institution for a psychiatric evaluation.
Hmm.
And Antonia was sent to the maternity ward of a hospital because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
The boys went to the mental institution to stay with their father. And the girls went to the hospital to stay with their mother. But, like, they could see the other parent.
Mm-hmm.
And the authorities, like, supposedly let this happen because they wanted to see if the killer would, like, slip up.
Oh.
So basically they were like, okay, we'll let the kids around their parents and we'll, like, catch them when the parent tries to kill the next one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of journalists were, like, coming out to talk to the children. Everyone was, like, curious. This made, like, national news. They interviewed, I think it was Manuela, who was 6 years old, and she just straight up told one journalist, well, I'm gonna die next, because they were literally, like, dying in order of youngest to oldest.
Oh my god.
While the journalists were talking to the children, they noticed that Piedad was very, like, cold, and they thought her demeanor was pretty, like, suspicious.
Mm.
And she was also the last one to interact with all the children prior to them getting sick. She was their only caregiver, pretty much.
Oh.
So, one detective tried to trick Piedad into confessing, and he, like, took her out to a little cafe, and she had a glass of milk, and he pretended to put one of those cleaning bars that she used on the chrome into the milk. And she grabbed his hand and told him, don't do that. You could seriously harm someone with that stuff.
Mm.
And he said, is it harmful? Is it like the stuff you gave your little siblings? She then, like, he said, it was all over her face.
Yeah.
Like, she knew it was over. And Piedad confessed to killing all of them. Although she claimed that her mother ordered her to kill the first three.
Oh my god.
And then she killed Andres all by herself. She told the detective that she used those bars, which contained potassium chloride and potassium cyanide, and mixed them with insecticides, and she would put that in the children's food and milk. And this was apparently, like, a very painful, like, death.
Jesus.
So Piedad was sent to a psychiatric ward, and both of her parents were eventually released after it became obvious that Piedad was lying about her mother's involvement. And that really it was all her idea. So she was officially diagnosed as psychopathic in 1966. She showed no remorse for the killings and was actually quite happy. She told doctors she was tired of having to care for them all the time and she just wanted to be a kid.
I mean, I guess, but you don't gotta kill them.
She was 12 years old and taking care of, well, let's see, nine?
Yeah.
No, not nine. Seven?
Yeah.
Seven children? Like, and doing all the cooking and cleaning for a household of seven.
Yeah, but you don't have to kill them.
Yeah. So, because she was only 12, she was sentenced to a Catholic convent for troubled girls. And it said that in that environment, she flourished.
Oh.
And she was happy, she took up knitting, she had friends, like, she was A-okay after that.
Mm-hmm.
And she often spoke of living with one of her aunts who was child-free when she would be released at 21. However, nothing is known about Piedad after that. It's assumed that she changed her name and just lived a normal life. At this point today, she would be 71 if she Whoa. Is still alive and out there.
Whoa. How do you just move on from life after that, though? Like, you killed three of your family members.
Four.
You killed four of your family members. Like, I don't know, girly.
I mean, like, she's probably definitely a psychopath. But, like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like they kind of made her a psychopath.
Maybe. I don't know. When you think about all the other people who have had to kind of do the same thing, like, take care of their families. That are pretty big. They never ended up killing any of them.
Yeah. It was said that, like, Piedad was basically illiterate. Like, she had never gone to school.
Dang.
But that she was, like, extremely cunning.
Mm. That'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
So Sabrina selected the Halloween tarot.
A spooky bitch.
This is, like, one of my favorite decks. I think it's so cute. And it's the pocket Halloween tarot.
It's so cute.
I've seen the big one, but
I like ones that come in little tins, because I think it's like
a little travel size.
Yeah, and like the boxes don't get smushed in your bag and stuff. Yeah. Do you have, like, questions, or is this just, like, a vibe check?
I think it's just a vibe check.
I love that.
I don't really have any questions, do you? Okay,
nah.
Cool.
Let's just check the vibes, bruh.
Let's just see how everything's going after the new moon.
Oh,
or
I had
full
a
moon.
I had a wonderful mushroom trip.
Nice.
Let me tell you. I had this moment where I was doing this, like, spirit guided meditation, and I saw the older version of myself, like, Ooh. Old lady Sabrina, and she, like, grabbed me by the shoulders and was like, I have so much to tell you, but so little time, try and remember this, and just was, like, telling me shit, and I was like, okay, I got it, and I saw, like, child me and, like, teenager me and Mimi, and then then, like, old me. Oh, it was wild.
Whoa.
And then I, like, stretched and I danced and I had a wonderful time.
Cute. Love that for you.
Thanks.
What did she tell you? What's one of the things she told you?
That I am never alone because I am always with me.
Period.
Period.
He's like, I guess.
Yeah, literally. And she said to be grateful and take joy in the everyday things. Cute. Because that's like what lets you know you're alive.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was lovely. That from her.
Very wise she was.
Did she say anything about me? No, I'm just kidding. Was I there?
You were talking to other bitches?
Oh, you're having like enlightened journeys without me?
Without me? Uh-huh.
But like, what would happen if I was there?
One time, Landon asked me what I would do if he was a worm. And I said I would pick him up and I would put him in my little pocket and I would always keep him moist. And I was like, what would you do if I was a worm? And he was like, oh, I'd build you a terrarium that would, like, make all the other worms jealous.
Period. Like, So now he has to build you a house.
Yeah. Literally.
All right, let's pull three cards today. Okay. So the first one pulled is Nine of Bats.
Nine of Bats.
And this is what it looks like. It's so cute.
She is so cute. So that's, like, the equivalent of Nine of Swords, I believe. The Nine of Bats, grief, despair, misery, loneliness, unexpected disappointment in someone, danger.
Uh-oh.
Shit. Okay, next one.
Four of Imps. And that's what this one looks like.
Oh, cute.
So cute.
Swans. Four of Imps. A well-deserved celebration of accomplishments, prosperity, peace, joy, exuberant, possible romance.
Oh.
You're getting mixed signals here.
Yeah, interesting.
What's the last one?
Seven of Bats. So we got the Nine of Bats and the Seven of Bats.
Fucking bats. A plan that may not work, a setback or bout of bad luck, partial success that does not justify the risks.
Huh.
Wow.
That feels like definitely mixed signals.
I feel like this is saying, probably like the worst reading we've ever done.
Yeah, because it's saying somebody's going to disappoint you unexpectedly and like hurt you. And also you're going to have an idea that like is not going to work out and not be worth it. But you're going to like succeed in something and get a promotion.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Let's do one clarifying one.
Okay.
Pull one more.
All right. Let me... Shuffle this around.
Tell us what
bit.
Do you mean?
Yeah, give us a little bit of insight. Is this past, present, future or something? Like,
what's the context?
Six of Imps. So we've got the Nine of Bats, the Four of Imps, the Seven of Bats, and the Six of Imps.
Huh.
So it's like a weird combo.
This one is success, the pleasure of recognition gained through creative hard work. Stability in action, optimism, triumph, advancement. So overall, we will prevail.
Yeah.
Is it trying to tell us that our bout of bad luck is over?
Maybe.
And we should rejoice that our fortune has turned with this full moon?
And celebrate our success.
We're at over 1,500 listens, so... Shameless plug. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and my leg's about to get better.
Yeah.
And I'm back to work.
I'm choosing to believe that that's what this meant.
Okay. It's all about what we take from it, so that's all that matters.
That's right.
So, overall, guys, if you've had a hard time, we're on the up and up.
Keep chugging. Will you pick me one more for your little loved one?
The Five of Pumpkins.
A turning point, distress, disappointment.
Oh no!
Loss or unexpected difficulties. Solving problems brought on by material loss. Oh no, we should have left it at that. Why is it going bad, good, bad, good,
bad? Well, we did just get a reading about getting disappointed.
Ay, ay, ay.
So maybe he'll do something that makes you bummed. Please. But it says communication. So yeah. Maybe you guys will communicate through it and you'll prevail and succeed. And then you guys can celebrate your success.
Please do. What a wild ride.
But it could also have nothing to do with that.
True. They do just be wanting to yell.
Yeah.
Into the void.
These ones seem a little feisty.
Yeah. It's been a while since you've used them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't used them in a long time. But that's also why I cleansed them before we started. Mm-hmm. Give them a little bit of love, but I guess it wasn't enough.
The imps were like, not enough, bitch.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that was our reading this time.
We'll tell you what you want, but only in the most cryptic way possible.
And we're going to be kind of mean about it. Let's see. I think that's everything.
That's everything for me.
Yeah. If you guys have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, anything like that, you can send it to greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. And if you want to look at our Instagram and get a super up close and personal picture with, or super up close and personal picture of our new cute little fancy logo, go follow our Instagram @gwcpodcast. @gwcpodcast.
Also, like, if you just have tea that you need to tell someone.
Oh my god.
Tell us.
Can we have a gossip column?
We're nosy.
Every break we'll read some gossip. Oh my god, guys, please.
Please.
Please send us your juiciest gossip. Tell us what your ex
situationship just did to you.
Yeah, send us your juiciest gossip. Feel free to ask for us to leave it anonymous and also to
change names.
Yeah, change names and stuff and locations, whatever you gotta do. But please give us some of your gossip. That would be fun.
That'd be actually so fun.
With every review, you should also comment and give us your juiciest gossip.
Please.
That would be fun.
That would be way fun.
Like that TikTok girl who's like, no, I'm not wanting gossip, but I heard that Billy Sue and
bless her heart.
I love that shit. Please, please do that. I love that. But yeah, I think that's everything. And we love you so much. And remember to light up.
And look out. And we're going to go watch some Love Island.
Of course. And I'm going to make some shrimp cocktail.
Yes.
Yay. Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.